see and clear.
Atención. 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 8, 4, 4, 7, 5.
Hey, Patreonoids, this is Sam. It is immediately after I just published episode 27.8, They Keep Pounding, which is about people with bad arguments who continually give us bad arguments that suddenly become functional arguments because, well, we didn't say it, but the lie is repeated. I don't really want to go Third Reich every freaking episode. It gets boring. Two, I think it gets overwrought and the message gets lost, but... the fact of the matter is people keep using bad arguments and sometimes succeed with bad arguments, and that happened not intentionally so, but that was definitely a major thrust of today's episode. I recently decided that I think an hour might not be long enough, so I started experimenting with the show length. I've done longer episodes, I've done shorter episodes, and I keep circling around back to 80 minutes, an hour 20 per episode per week. And so this is the first week I tried to do that. We went over, as we usually do. So I made some cuts, got it down to 83 minutes, and just cut out some stuff that I didn't think worked as well as I liked. I felt like I may have made ideological or tactical misstatements, you know, stuff, I don't know, just stuff that just didn't made it onto the cutting room floor. But definitely worth sharing. So I thought I'd share it with you guys. And see what you think. And honestly, if you have any ideas about where I should take the show, especially in regards to politics, the fact that we're talking about politics now, we can't ignore the 45th president. We can't ignore healthcare in the same way that we always have, and that I'm trying to bring, trying to create sort of a political island in the middle of Ask an Atheist. For the last two episodes, I've done it as the last segment. I don't think it works. We're kind of tired by that point. And when we've run into politics, we come in powerful, and that power seems to, you know, that energy seems to go through the whole episode. Where if we do it last, I don't really feel like we give it a great treatment. So I think I'm going to move politics first. Now, whether that means I do some sort of post on that, even though, well, you know, I still need to figure that out. And some advice here would be well appreciated. Another thing that I'm working on is I'm finishing up the chat system for the Streamathon. I'm figuring out the chat system for the live mode, because we are going to start doing live streaming again, if not necessarily on the radio. Although going back to radio is something I'd like to do. And on that Streamathon note, I'm actually playing with a cheap HDMI encoder and stuff like that. That's the show stuff I've been doing, other than keeping the studio running sort of at the status quo. We've had problems with one of the touchscreen monitors, cords keep getting kicked out, stuff that I really should be dealing with, but it's like, do I focus on making this studio work, or do I go focus on the house where the next studio, which is going to be amazing, it's where to focus my time. And I imagine you guys know exactly how that is. Anyway, I'll stop blathering. Here we go with our next Patreon podcast. This is stuff that didn't make it into this week's episode. And it's about, I think it runs about 6 minutes. Talk to you guys soon. if somebody sprays anything in my face suggesting it's for a TV show, don't let them.
Noted.
I'll just put it that
Duly
way.
Noted.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, the president, or the god emperor of North Korea's half-brother got assassinated, it looks like.
Yeah.
That's what I'm referring to.
Did you see what happened yesterday?
No.
In China? So China blocked a coal train coming from North Korea.
No kidding.
So depending on how much you know about North Korea...
Well, China's their largest trading partner.
But they're their largest trading partner, and their largest export is coal. So you can start doing the math pretty quick.
Ooh.
And China said they will not be doing coal business with them for at least the rest of the year.
Oh, man.
So this is not, that's not a good situation.
No, not a good situation for them.
Yeah. And from what I understand, the half-brother had a lot of connections to China. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, these stories are really weird to follow because it's like the worst dynasty.
Right.
And I don't know if I mean that politically or television, but
I was gonna ask that.
Yeah, either way, it's kind of sad and hard to watch. I wasn't meaning to cover it, but then humor happened.
Well, it actually seems like there's actually a lot of the hypothesis out there that the North Korea doesn't even know that the brother was assassinated, that they're actually keeping it from the people.
Right.
And so what South Korea is doing is actually starting to blare over the DMZ, actually blare news about the assassination of the brother as propaganda, but also informative propaganda.
Yeah. Are there any actual North Korean villages near or in the DMZ anymore? I thought there was just the one that doesn't have windows that they emptied out or something.
Yeah, I don't know about villages. I just know that it's just a really, really heavily guarded. There's something along the lines of 1 million soldiers just on the North Korean
side.
That's
true, yeah.
And so, I mean, you're spreading this message to 1 million soldiers that eventually is going to filter down to the populace.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Wow, yeah, that totally unplanned aside.
Evolution, back to that.
Yeah, I don't know how we got there, and I know it was my fault. And, but yeah, so now we're going to move on to a little bit of, I keep calling it user interaction, but this is a show, you're not users? I don't know. my old job starts shining through a little bit. And the first one comes to us from Matt from Twitter, who writes, on the Arguing with Bad Faith episode at 33 minutes, you forgot the little man looking for a circuit breaker at the center of every black hole.
No, we didn't. Go back and listen again. Matt.
Might have been a little gap there. Mostly putting this here as I just kind of like that image. But the other thing is, yes, we are on Twitter. And yes, I pay attention to what happens on Twitter. Really, I do. But I think just the reminder that there is somebody looking for a circuit breaker. Or the way I would put it, trying to figure out the rendering bug at the center at every black hole. I was like, oh, what failed here? Oh, boy.
Oh, shoot.
These vertexes don't make any sense at all. And that's my problem with this voicemail, ultimately, is I'm not exactly sure how to respond to it or what precisely to say. But what Jonathan's doing here that I like is it's something that I've been repeatedly saying on the show, is the breaking bread with racists argument. Is that we got to sit down, mm-hmm. we have to talk with these people who voted for, who voted for the current president for whatever reason, figure out what those reasons are, figure out if they match out with what this guy actually is, and to have an argument and have a discussion and an understanding that we don't already have that brought us to where we are today.
So basically forcing them to define their ledge that they're standing on and help bring them back a little bit as much as possible. We can't from that ledge.
And to say that you're a racist, but I want to try to fix that because you're my friend, takes a certain kind of courage. Sometimes it's a courage I don't have.
Yeah, I don't know.
When I encounter somebody like this more often than not, I just go, I did unfriend.
Outright calling somebody racist is the fastest way to shut down the conversation, though.
Right.
You're going to have to be subtle.
You're going to have to be subtle.
Subtle, sorry.
But it's hard to be subtle about something not subtle.
Right.
I've tried over the years various ways of bringing in this argument sounds racist in, so that we can discuss it openly and potentially without judgment, to say, like, I don't know if you know, but the last person I heard to say this argument was Prussian Blue. So you got a problem here. And, you know, and it's like, but I have yet to find a really good, subtle way that doesn't trigger people's, oh my God, I'm not a racist. How could you terribly say that? I'm going to invalidate everything that you say.
Yeah.
And I find it very difficult to do that. So when it comes down to it, when I run into somebody who just says really ridiculous racist stuff, I tend to either just not care or just back away slowly. Either not care or start screaming.
Right.
And back away slowly or get into an argument. And the older I get, the more I choose option B,
mm-hmm.
because that's the kind of guy I am. But I don't think that's because the problem is insoluble. I think it's because I'm bad at it. This might not be something that I'm good at.
Well, maybe you're approaching it as a bigger bug than it needs to be. The most important thing, to me at least, in context of what we're talking about here, is you have to have these established relationships. In pre-show we were kind of talking about this, and I've...
But the thing is, so it's like, this really does look incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people these days, even on this show, have been kind of breaking the Goldwater rule and saying stuff like, well, he's mentally disturbed or he can't read and stuff like that. And I don't know that... I don't know that I want to go there. I mean, for one thing,
it's hard not to go there.
I mean,
but we're not licensed. We shouldn't be making diagnosis. Even licensed professionals shouldn't be doing armchair diagnosis. But it's really hard not to see that there's something wrong.
Right.
At some point, you got to sit there and say, like, this guy is not mentally there.
Right.
Maybe we've been looking at it wrong the whole time. And let's be honest. Like, I don't think Trump wanted to win the presidency. I think he wanted to run the campaign because that's fun. And then he wanted to make a bunch of money. And now he's there, so he's got to do something. Maybe he's doing all this stuff on purpose.
Right.
Like, how many things do I have to do before you impeach me? Just do it.
Yeah, I can't think that highly of him. I mean, I don't give him that much credit. If he's doing that, then bravo on him because he's extremely consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between not being able to read and just not wanting to read. And I'm willing to put not wanting to read this crap over this stuff that I don't care about over not actually being able to read. Just because, I'm not ready to break the Goldwater rule even for him.
Right.
Yeah. He's able to read. It's just the argument comes about what level can he read at.
Okay.
And
then comes the question, do you even need to read to be the president if you got 8,000 people around you willing to tell you any fact? It's like, can somebody with some sort of aphasia be president? I think it's possible.
Well, if that's what's happening here. The argument could be then made, why do any research? Just watch Fox News.
Right.
And that's essentially what it comes down to. I mean, we know that his news sources are Fox News, Breitbart, and Alex Jones.
Right.
And he continuously sources information without...
And he continues, and then, you know, for his press conferences or when he takes questions, those are the people he always calls on.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely calls on CNN, very rarely calls on AP. Sometimes he'll call on Newsmax before he calls on AP. And that's weird.
Uno. Tres, cero, uno, cero, nueve, uno, dos. Fin.